From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The search is on for a new conductor for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Longtime music director Daniel Barenboim announced earlier this year that he will step down after two more seasons. Barenboim's resignation has renewed the debate over the role of an orchestral director, as NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
Okay, please, let's do that once more. It's okay, you can do, we're already there.
Okay.
Put it on.
In a university rehearsal room, maestro Daniel Barenboim began singing along with a vocalist as they work on the staging and the interpretation of Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. This was a separate rehearsal for the singers.
Now you're going to start the aria.
With his eyes wide and focused, Barenboim paces just a few inches from the singer, motioning for her to gesture or walk a certain way. The production would open the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's summer season. The Marriage of Figaro was one of the first operas Barenboim ever conducted, and he beams when he describes his love for it.
The music, the story, the language, everything. I mean, the Marriage of Figaro is one of those masterworks that remain always contemporary.
Most conductors of major orchestras are globetrotters with more than one job. Barenboim works in his hometown of Berlin as music director of an opera company, but he says he grew up with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He first performed with them as a solo pianist in 1969. His CSO conducting debut came a year later, and he was appointed music director designate in 1989. He took over the podium 2 years later when Sir George Schulte retired. Now Barenboim tenure will come to an end when his contract expires in the spring of 2006.
Well, first of all, you know, it will be 17 years that I've been music director. It's a long spell of time.
Only two other CSO music directors have held the post longer. When Barenboim's resignation takes effect, he will be 64. He says traveling between Chicago and Berlin has taken a toll. He also laments what he says is music's diminished role in the United States. And he says music directors are being asked to shoulder too many non-artistic duties as the orchestra's administrative wing tries to rebuild shrinking audiences.
I think, you know, they expect him to be a social figure and to go to parties and to go and thank people, which is very important. I just think that this is the job of the manager of the orchestra.
The CSO's new president, Deborah Card, on the job since last August, says American orchestras need musical leadership that goes beyond conducting, but she respects Barenboim's decision.
Mr. Barenboim, in his time here, has dedicated himself to education programs and to doing work in the community here. He has. This is it. What we need is perhaps more of it at a time when he would prefer to be stepping back from it a little bit more.
Unlike European orchestras, which exist primarily on government subsidies, symphony orchestras in the United States depend on philanthropy and ticket sales. Most are struggling financially. Audience levels have declined after a slump in the economy, and so have corporate sponsorships. Card must tackle a multi-million dollar deficit at the CSO, and she says she needs an active partner to help balance programming, ticket prices, and ways to bring in new audiences. The CSO president says she realizes the demands are challenging, so everyone, CSO musicians, the orchestra board, administrators, as well as the music director, must share fundraising and outreach activities.
But indeed, we are in a musical institution. He's the one that they want the autograph from, not from me.
Barenboim has long been one of classical music superstars. He keeps a punishing schedule, which includes piano performances as well as conducting. He's hired nearly a third of the CSO's members and has helped revitalize the symphony's training ensemble, the Civic Orchestra. He brought in Pierre Boulez as principal guest conductor. A fan of modern composers, Barenboim has both his admirers and detractors, not only for his musical ideas, but for his efforts in bringing young Palestinian and Israeli musicians together. In Chicago, Barenboim is as much a celebrity to music lovers as Michael Jordan was to the city's basketball fans. But to Barenboim, there's a huge difference.
I don't think that Michael Jordan was ever asked to spend more time in a town and not to play basketball, but to socialize and play a social role in the community, you know. But music directors have been asked to do that.
And that's a frustration for many of them. Barenboim says the role of the music director is to work out the expressive elements of music with musicians, to figure why things happen in a piece in terms of balance, intonation, and phrasing. It's a process, he says, that takes weeks or even years. For decades, CSO concerts were broadcast live on WFMT in Chicago. The radio station's critic at large, Andrew Patner, says with the loss of big recording contracts for the CSO and other symphonies, and relatively little play of classical music on television and radio, the philosophical dispute over the conductor's role in the U.S. is being played out around the country. The reaction, Patner says, is varied.
You have in San Francisco a Michael Tilson Thomas who relishes being a star in a relatively small town, San Francisco. You have somebody like Lauren Mazel who recognizes that he is something of an interim person in New York while the New York Philharmonic figures out how do we handle this long range. We had in Chicago George Schulte, who didn't care for all of those kinds of things either, but he had Lady Schulte.
But Barenboim's wife is an accomplished musician with a career of her own, and with more younger conductors coming on the scene, who are also often part of two-career families with children, the issues of how conductors fit into communities becomes much more complicated than it was for the great maestros of the past and for the orchestras they served. Even so, Patner says the stature of the CSO may make it less problematic.
I think that some of the things that they would have wanted from Barenboim, he might have been happy to give 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. If you went to somebody of near that caliber, who's 40 or in his or her 30s, and said, we're going to give you the best car in the world to drive, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, but we also want you to give more weeks than historically other orchestras have been asking, or we're also going to want you to make Chicago your primary place of residence, there are a lot of people who would absolutely jump at that opportunity.
That's just what the CSO hopes will happen, as it looks for someone who will embrace both the musical and administrative demands of the CSO after Daniel Barenboim steps down. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.